Lamed Dalet.
118.
We're going to start 5 lines at the bottom of the page. 118, page Lamed Dalet, middle of Perek of Zayin. Okay, now the Rebbe is, these Pirakim are what's called the antidepressant medicine. Now the Rebbe says bad things are really good, even if you, sadness doesn't come from Avedis, but it comes from evil thoughts. He says, be happy, because this is the job Hashem gave you, to be a Beinoni. To be a Beinoni that gets rid of all the foreign thoughts. And he says, a person could become depressed. This Beinoni could become depressed. And he says, my whole life I'm fighting, and I'll never win. Because I can never become a tzaddik. Because to be born, you need to be born a tzaddik. 118 at the bottom. So he says like this. The shnei, meaning nachas ruach lefan of yizbarech, lemayla. There's two types of pleasures that Hashem has. Whatever you want to think or say, the bottom line of this world is because this is what Hashem enjoys. This is what He wants. So the Alter Rebbe says, Hashem has two types of pleasures. Echad mibitul asitrachad legamri. One is by nullifying evil completely. V'sapcha merido lemiska. And transforming bitterness to sweetness. U'mechashech lenahera. And darkness to light. Ayidei hatzadikim. Which is tzaddikim, because they basically deal completely only with good. The shenis, and the second level is kadiskafya sitrachra, when you break evil, ba'ede betakva ubigvirasa, when it's in its full glory and might, umagbiya atzma kanesha, and it picks itself up with a powerful force like an eagle, umishamerida Hashem, and from that high level Hashem lowers it. Bisarusa de Lasata through the awakening of below Aidea Beninim. In other words, like this, as Alter Rebbe is going to explain in a second. There is the sweet work of a tzaddik. A tzaddik, like he said, transforms darkness to light. Then there's a second form. Battle. Breaking evil. Not transforming it, breaking. A tzaddik gomor, not only did he kill the Yetzirah, he transformed the Yetzirah into Yetzirah. Right? That's his hapcha, transformation of evil into good. That's one. That's called the sweet pleasure Hashem has. Then there's the bitter, sour, hot sauce type of pleasure that Hashem has. And that is through breaking evil on a continuous level. And Alter Rebbe explains. This is what the pasuk says. Either when Yitzchak told Esav or Rivka told Yaakov, you know, when Yitzchak called in Yaakov, Esav, he said, you know, I'm going to give you a bracha. Go make for me delicacies. Make delicacies like I like, and then I'll give you a bracha. Right? So the underlying question over here is, mat'amim is plural. Yeah? Do you think Yitzchak needed 2 good dishes to give a bracha? Was Yitzchak into food? Huh?
Why would he even need 1 good dish?
Because he needed a bracha to come into Gashmias. But why in the world Yitzchak Avinu, now you're going to say, give me 2 good dishes. If he needed a holding in Gashmias, right? The bracha, give a bracha, it has to have a gashmias, take a holding to it. So why did he need 2 delicacies? Mat'amim, 1 delicacy is not enough. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining like this. Loshen Rabim, okay, what does it mean? Shnei mini nachas ruach, v'maymer ashchina lebanea klaus yisro. This pasuk that Yitzchak is talking to his children is God speaking to us. All the stories of the Ovis are lessons for us, right? Yitzchak Avinu, meaning Hashem is saying to the Yiddish kids, to his children, I want 2 types of delicacies from you. There's 1 delicacy which is called sweet, which is the Aved of Tzadikim. They're not fighting a constant battle. They don't have to keep fighting because they already transformed evil to good. And then there's a second enjoyment Hashem has, when a person is constantly fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting, knowing they'll never win, that itself, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain, is a greater pleasure than the pleasure of a tzaddik. And in Chassidus it says a remarkable concept. Fighting, even if you lose, is also tremendous pleasure. It says in Chassidus like this, what happens if a person has a strong desire to sin? They have a very strong desire to sin. They want to think something they shouldn't, say something they shouldn't, do something they shouldn't. They should tell themselves, you know what? In 5 minutes I'm going to do it. Just give me 5 minutes. In 5 minutes I'm going to sin. He says in Chassidus, two things happen. One of two things happen. Either because you broke the Yetzer Hara for the minute, the temptation dies and you won't even want to do it in 5 minutes. And he says even more, which itself is an unbelievable accomplishment, you didn't sin. He says in Chassidus, even if you end up sinning after the 5 minutes, you do give in and you do sin. The fact that you held yourself back, you refrained yourself for 5 minutes from sinning, even though you sinned, it is a tremendous nachas ruach, a tremendous pleasure that Hashem has from the fact that you held yourself back from sinning. That even if you lose. He says the Beinoni shouldn't get depressed from the fact that he's constantly fighting. Why? Because the Alter Rebbe is saying to the Beinoni, your fight is a greater enjoyment to Hashem than the Aved of a Tzaddik. Because Hashem, and the Alter Rebbe is going to say a very simple thing. We know there's indelicacies, right? You have sharp food that people like, and you have sweet food that people like. Yeah. If somebody, God forbid, faints, you don't revive him with a sugar cube. You give him something strong, something bitter, something sharp to smell, and that dafka, that revives them. Don't give him a sugar cube to smell. So the Alter Rebbe is showing that in the two types of enjoyments that Hashem has, the bitter one and the sweet one, there's an advantage in the bitter one over the sweet one. And therefore the Alter Rebbe says, don't get upset from the fact that you're fighting. This is causing a tremendous pleasure to Hashem. This is what he wants.
Yeah, but sometimes it just feels like this, the fighting is relentless. You know what I mean?
Only if you give in.
Well, everybody gives in once in a while unless you're trying.
Well, if a Benjamin, he never gives in either. Once you give in once, you're the rush of a tovlo. You're out of the Beinoni club.
Can you explain, please? Someone
wants us to try. And the truth is, like I mentioned before, even if eventually we give in, we fall prey, but we fought, we put up a fight, that itself is a tremendous pleasure by Hashem.
Could you please explain the mechanism of how the food brings the bracha into Gashmias?
Not the food brings the bracha into Gashmias. When, in order for a bracha to become effective, okay, why be many tzaddikim did they give brachas either with shiraim or food, okay, or even the Rebbe in the last years gave brachas through dollars, right? If the Rebbe told everybody, I want all the people to give a dollar a Sunday, right? The people would have done, given a dollar Sunday to tzedakah anyway, right? The Rebbe is standing 4 or 5 hours on his feet, giving out dollars for people to give tzedakah. Why did he have to do it? Because he wanted $10,000 out of circulation? Because he wanted $10,000 to be given to tzedakah? The Rebbe could have said, every Sunday I want to give a dollar to tzedakah. And to save everybody's waiting in line, and what's the thing? It has to come down in a gashmistic way. Through gashmias, there's an achiva, there's something holding on to the bracha.
Okay,
do you know when a Rebbe said a maimer? The Rebbe said a maimer, I mean, people that were there then obviously saw it, even though the Rebbe did it very secretively. But when the Rebbe said a maimer, the Rebbe had his hands under the table, and the Rebbe had a handkerchief that he wrapped around his hand, okay, before the maimer started, and the Rebbe was holding onto the handkerchief during the maimer. All the Rebbeim did that, but the Rebbe did it. I mean, it was the Rebbe held the maimer, took out under his thing and under the table before the maimer. They're singing the maimering and whatever. The Rebbe took out a handkerchief and wrapped it around his hand and held it during the maimer. That should have, because when he says a maimer, it's such a great revelation of chassidus, a great revelation of God, and he needed something to hold himself to earth.
But that's two separate in the other.
I know, but I'm just saying, to bring things down to earth, you need to have it in a physical sense. Why did Yitzchak... Let me ask you a question. If Yitzchak wanted to bless Yaakov, I mean Esav, did he eventually bless Yaakov? Why did he tell Esav to go bring me food? Why didn't he just give him a bracha? Why didn't he just give him a bracha? He needed dinner? His wife didn't make him dinner? I'm sure his wife made him dinner. She was a good wife. I'm sure she made him a good dinner. Yeah? She ended up making the dinner anyway. Right? Esav came too late. It was for the next meal. Leftovers. Why did Yitzchak Avinu need the food to give him a bracha? Because when a bracha comes into something physical, the bracha is to come into physical health, wealth, happiness, whatever, right? It needs to have a root in Gashmias, or else it's not going to last. Like the flame on the candle.
It's a root or a keli in Gashmias?
That's the keli, is the root of it.
Okay, so one second. So he brought. So Esav brought him the food. So the idea is that he's going to give Esav shuraim from it? Or what is the idea? The plate sitting
no. on
him?
No. Yitzchak ate, you give me Gashmias, I give you a bracha.
Okay.
And that's the same thing with dollars. The Rebbe's bracha went into a Gashmias, other thing, otherwise sometimes it could stay only spiritual.
Right, but Rebbe's handing it to you.
But he's giving you a Gashmias thicker thing.
Right, but the Yaakov...
But why? Because then the bracha becomes into a Gashmias thicker thing.
Okay, but Yaakov didn't hand him the food.
He did. Yaakov brought him the food. Rivka's called him and said, hello, bring me food, I'll make a dinner.
Okay, no, wait, Yitzchak didn't hand Esau the food.
I understand, he gave him the food, he gave him a bracha.
Okay, fine.
There's a gashmistic vessel which is there to hold the bracha.
Okay.
They tell the story, I don't know if I ever mentioned, I'm sure I did. I don't know if it's true or not, but this is what they say. Two women didn't have children for a long time. They came to the Rebbe for bracha for children. Okay? The Rebbe gave them both the bracha for children. One had a child and one didn't. Okay, so he said, what was the difference? The lady that the Rebbe said, one of the two ladies, the Rebbe said, you can have a child? She went out right away and bought a carriage. And the other lady didn't. In other words, she made a physical keli ready for the bracha. Right away. You make a physical keli, so then the bracha is what to come down on. If a flame doesn't have the oil and the wick, or the wax to hold it, it's going to leave. I'm not... I'm saying the inyan of it.
That's for a lot of Mechayim.
What?
With something
gashmias. Yeah.
A
correct, because it needs a gashmiastic vessel, because then the spiritual bracha comes into the physical world. I mean, we don't want spiritual brachas, we want physical brachas. So it needs a keli in the physical world to be able to hold the bracha. That's why you're right. You say l'chaim on a cup of wine and mashke or whatever it is. You have a gashmiastic thing for the bracha. Okay, so he says like this. Four lines in the top. In physical delicacies. There's two types of delicacies. There are certain sweet foods. Sour or bitter foods, right? But they're not stam bitter. Right? They're made in such a way that the bitterness is good. To the extent that they actually become delicacies to revive the soul if it faints. And like we said, if somebody faints, you don't give them sugar to smell. So therefore he says like this. This is what the pasuk says. Kopal Hashem lemanehu, everything Hashem did was for himself. And the Rasha also for the Yemra. What does it mean? And the Rebbe uses this concept to explain the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It was just mentioned Shabbos here, that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, the fifth parak, yeah, Hashem created the world in 10 utterances. Asar Memos. So Hashem could have created with one. So he says, why? To punish the Rishoyim and to reward the Tzaddikim. Why does the Mishnah first say punishing the Rishoyim? So the Rebbe uses this thing, with this pasuk that the Rebbe quotes here. The pasuk says, Kopal Hashem lemaneu. Everything Hashem did for himself. The Gamrasha l'yayimra literally means, and the wicked for a wicked day. Okay, so Chassidus, the Rebbe is interpreting here like this: the Gam Rasha. Why did God make a Rasha? Why did Hashem make a Rasha? L'yoyim Ra, the Rebbe is defining L'yoyim. In today, Ra he should turn as evil. In other words, what is the we discussed by the way last week here in Shabbos more? Why did Hashem create evil in the world? It's not only that otherwise good cannot be good. Hashem created evil in the world because the ultimate good is when evil becomes good. And in fact, Chassidus explains, you know, those that learn Basi Lagani, okay, the one-liner of the whole Basi Lagani really is Kadiskafya Sidra Achra Istalik Kikar the Kutshav Richa B'chol Omen. When you break evil, the Gilui of Elokus becomes revealed in the world. It's the whole first Maimah, Basi Lagani. Right? So Chassidus explains, the Zohar doesn't say when you transform evil. It says when you break evil. Breaking evil is in a certain respect greater than transforming evil to good. And therefore, in a certain respect, Chassidus explains, a Beinoni is greater than a tzaddik. In other words, level-wise, sweet is better than sour. In level. A tzaddik is higher than a beinoni. But there's a certain enjoyment Hashem has from the beinoni that he doesn't get from the tzaddik. What is it? The fight. The breaking of evil that the Beinoni has because it's constant struggle, because he wants to do evil and he doesn't, that causes Hashem a greater enjoyment than the enjoyment of a tzaddik.
So which is higher, hiskapia?
Again, level-wise, hisapcha. Avaida-wise, hiskafia.
Say that one more time, what you just said?
Level-wise, transformation is higher than breaking. Avaida-wise, hiskafia is greater than hisapcha. Remember, we said many times, if a kid doesn't need to study for a test, right, and gets 100, done, no studying, comes next day, takes a test, gets 100, right? Then you have another kid that needs really to study hard. Yeah, and they really study hard, but all they can get is a 70. And they studied hard, they worked, and they got the 70. Which grade is better? Which grade is better? 100 is better than a 70. Which kid did better work? The 70. I just got 100. But there was no fight. There was no effort. There was no challenge. So is 100 better than a 70? 100%. Which is worth more? The 70 is worth more than the 100. Because without studying, the kid would have gotten a 50, a 40, or who knows what. With the studying, the kid got a 70. Right? So there's a mila, there's an advantage in fighting. And like I said, even though you might not reach the level of the tzaddik, because the beinoni can't, but he still is a higher level. And that's why, by the way, the Mishnah first says to punish the Rishoyim and to reward the Tzaddikim. He doesn't mean to punish the Tzaddikim, the Rishoyim he means. The Rebbe explains what it means that the Rosh should do tshuva. And that is higher than the Tzaddik. Because of Baal Tshuva, to get where they got was with fighting. And that's when that respect is greater than the tzaddik. And he says, and v'zeh she'amar kos kopal shem l'aner gam roshol imir al pirush, she'yol shev mirisha should turn away from his evil, v'yasa harashalai, and he should make his evil into yoyim v'er l'mayla, into light above. How? Kadiskaf yisitir achro, by breaking evil, the Zohar says, not by transforming evil, by breaking evil. And it reveals the infinite level of godliness into the world, that is by fighting. So it's an unbelievable concept, Bechlal, that Chassidus elaborates on. It's Yiddishkeit, but Chassidus elaborates even more that effort is what really, by Hashem, effort is what really counts, not necessarily the outcome. I heard from Meshpim, we were Bochrim, there were Chassidim, that when they would learn a Maimer Chassidus, they would bedafka not end the Maimer. Bedafka not. Why? Because the end of the Maimer answers the questions from the beginning of the Maimer, right? So then you enjoy it. Now you have a full thing. They wanted to learn Chassidus in a way that they still don't enjoy it. Instead, they're working for the sake of working, even though they're not going to enjoy it at the end. I mean, it's a level, but it's a concept that exists. In other words, according to this, work is an end by itself, not a means to the end. The Beinoni's work is work, work, work without any end, because he'll never win. But it's not a means to an end, it's an end by itself. It's a purpose within itself, just the actual concept of working. Which is a remarkable thing, by the way. Because then, every person has their own unique relationship with Hashem, what Hashem wants from them, and what they're able to accomplish, and there's no comparison between people. And that's why Hashem doesn't compare between people. You know, one of the worst things, parents always tell it to the kids, one of the worst things parents can tell their kids, why aren't you like your brother? Why aren't you like your sister? It is one of the worst things in parenting that a parent can tell a kid. Why? What do you mean, why can't I be like my brother? I'm me, I'm not my brother. I'm not my sister, I'm me. Okay? Don't ask me, why can't you be like your brother? Like Reb Zusha said, they're going to punish him why he wasn't the Maggid. They're going to beat him up why he wasn't Zusha. You need, and this is, it's if you think about it, the relationship that Hashem has with every Jew is a one-to-one relationship that's incomparable to anybody else. Because based on what you're able to do and the amount of work you put into it, that's what matters and nothing else. Well, like we gave many times a different mashal, that the soldier was fighting a war. I learned this many times. It brings out a very deep point in Chassidus and Yiddishkeit. A soldier is fighting a war. The general tells him to do something. He doesn't listen. He doesn't listen to the general. And because of that, they won the war. And if he would have listened to the general, they would have lost the war. So now the shaila is, what do you do to the soldier? So the answer is, you court-martial him. The question is, he won the war. Why do you court-martial him? The answer is, because his job is not to win the war. His job is to listen to orders. The general's job is to win a war. The soldier's job is not to win the war. And therefore, if he doesn't listen and wins the war, he's court-martialed. Because his job is to fight and listen to orders, not to win the war. And our job is to do. To win the war, that's up to Hashem already, if we win or lose. That's the general's job. Our job is to have the iskafia on a constant basis. So he says, though, you can't feel upset about it, because this is the purpose of your creation. This is causing a greater enjoyment to Hashem than the tzaddikim are. So what are you upset about? That you're fighting? That's your purpose. The Loyaid, now Trebbe says, just in a few more lines, Afilu bidvarim amutarim legamri, even things which are permissible 100%. Komasha odom zeveach yitzri, whatever person shechts his yitzahara, literally, Afilu shokal, even for a second. You want to eat something very much, you wait 2 minutes. And his intent is to break evil, which is on the left side of the heart. Like he says, a guy wants to eat, he's dying to eat, and he says, you know what, I'm eating in an hour from now. And he does, and he learns Torah, and like he says from the Gemara, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says which hours of the day people eat. The gangsters eat the first hour. The says, Michael, Shorevius, the Gemara says like this, the fourth hour of the day is when normal people eat. Shor Shishis, the sixth hour of the day, that's when Tamidei Chachamim ate. Yeah? So the Rabbi, I said, I don't understand. The Tamidei Chachamim are learning a whole day, right? They learn before eating. They learn after eating. Why can't they eat when everybody else eats? Why is it that everybody eats in the fourth hour of the day, and the tzaddikim, the Talmid Chacham, eat in the sixth hour of the day? They're learning anyway before or after. Why can't they eat when everybody else eats? The Alter Rebbe says, because this is what the Talmid Chacham are all about. They said, now is the time of eating. We're going to break ourselves and eat 2 hours later. There's one in the Rebbe Rashab's time. I think it was Rabbi Rashab's time. There was a mashgiach in the yeshiva, the guy who was in charge of the bochrim. He decided the bochrim have to do iskafia. So he didn't give him food. He said, bochrim have to learn how to bake themselves, no food. Today they would press charges against the guy. Anyway, the Rabbi Rashab fired him. The Rabbi Rashab fired him. He says, iskafia, you do to yourself, not to somebody else. You want to break your evil? You do it. Don't make the bochum do a skafia. You want to do it? You fight. You break yourself. You don't make other people miserable. It's very easy to tell somebody else to do a skafia, like everything else. So he says, but you might even add some shtei shoyis. They hungered themselves 2 hours beyond the normal time of eating. Even though after eating they also learned the whole day, this is what it's all about. Okay.